Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Rouch, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. It's a Wednesday. That means J.C. Cole checking in from New Jersey. You missed a great event, J.C.
I tried to catch part of it on Beck TV.
Well, Amanda Radke and Croy Radke were present. In fact, they're joining us now. Hi, Croy.
Excellent.
Hi.
Hi.
You missed a good time, JC. You should have been there. You could have just flown in with Kevin Jenkins, and it would have been great.
Yes, I saw that you bushwhacked Trent crossing the bridge there.
She I'm does always
that all she did that today. It's not like she was invited.
Right.
She said, you know, it's been too long since I talked to J.C. Cole. I need to come on. And Croy is my buddy, so he has to go where I go.
Got it. So I noticed you wrote a book, Kevin, the bottle fed calf. I think.
Well, yes.
Please don't write a book, JC the difficult goat.
Should we name a goat after JC? That would be funny.
The name of this book is Cole, the stinky old goat.
Right.
Yes, Kevin Jenkins does have a bottle calf named in his honor.
There we go.
Trent, you can have a duck.
Oh, that's fine. I'm always quacking.
Yes, you are.
All right. So what was your perception of what you saw, JC?
Well, it was good. It's good, you know, to see that people are waking up to get that information out. And, you know, and especially in that special day, 4th of July, Independence Day.
Amanda, your summary?
I felt like it was a very much needed event for people to have their spirits uplifted. It's been a hard year and a half, and prices are going up and people are a little beat up and worn down. And I think it was exactly what we needed, myself included, as a speaker, to feel reinvigorated and inspired and motivated to keep up the good fight to ensure we have a brighter future.
My assessment is that we did exactly what needed to happen on Monday, Independence Day, but it's going to be shame on us if we don't take the next step and do due diligence and follow through, because the opportunities to touch people, it's there now. It doesn't matter how many people showed up. We have something now that each one of us need to go forward with and push to the next level. And that's going to require a lot of people to be in uncomfortable positions for some period of time to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Well, people are uncomfortable right now. I was just reading.
No, I don't think they are.
Well, they're being squeezed in a few different directions. I mean, the average cost of your 4th of July dinner this year was $69.68, up $59.50 from last year for a party of 10 in 2021. That beef is up 36%. Even your buns were up $1.93. That's according to a new article that just came out. So I think people are pressed. And when people are pressed economically, they have a tendency to kind of forget what's going on outside of their own homes. But now's the time to pay attention to both. So, yeah, I think people are going to get very uncomfortable soon.
How uncomfortable are we now, JC?
Well, I think also we're in uncharted territory. We've never seen this before. I mean, in our lifetimes, and that really puts a lot more stress on people because they don't know what some of the solutions are. Right? You know, now I guess I've been fortunate where I spent 18 years out of the country in a situation that equally went through an uncharted territory. You know, when you had the entire Soviet Union collapse and nobody knew what to do. Well, now we're watching this, and now it's our turn. You know, and unfortunately, it's coming in spades. There's just an attack on pretty much everything. And, you know, if we focus on those areas of the critical areas for life, like energy, food, and water, and I just happened to notice, okay, Biden is selling our American oil reserves to foreign companies. Well, there's energy. And I brought up a couple of months ago that the U.S. grain reserves, known as the Bill Emerson Humanitarian Trust, have been at zero since 2008, and that somebody in their incredible wisdom had just moved it to a line item and stored money in on the spreadsheet instead of storing grain. So we don't have any U.S. grain reserves. So there's food. And then, of course, if you look right now at Lake Mead, and water levels are dropping to their lowest in 50 years, and the Hoover Dam was closed over the weekend. So right there, we've got just an example of an attack on energy, food, and water.
Well, and to add to that, and that's one thing I'm going to accomplish today while in Bismarck, because there's people that have a really good handle on this. We have the federal government talking about destroying four electric hydro dams in Kalamath River, Kalamath Falls in Oregon and California. We're destroying a hydrogen electric producing dam in the Snake River in Idaho. There's one that I can't think of the name of in Wyoming at the time. And this week in Platte, South Dakota, there's a meeting about the government wanting to take 44,000 acres of land to put in a fluffy energy producing thing that won't have a net energy gain. So we're destroying the ability to produce electricity and demonizing coal. Let's not forget about that. At the same time that we are artificially creating an increased demand for electricity. Where does this make sense right to anybody?
So well, that's the challenge.
Is this our elected officials being naive and trying so hard to virtue signal that they are just doing whatever they can to convince people that they're green? Or is this an intentional weakening of our essentials, food, water, and fuel?
That's the challenge there, because if it was, it's clandestine. And of course, when it's clandestine, it's hidden and most people wouldn't recognize it.
Yeah, you know? I know you're playing devil's advocate. I'm not buying in any way, shape, or form that this the government officials being naive. It's a power grab, period. Wait, JC, don't we have 27 days of petroleum available?
You're supposed to have 3 years available.
No. I'm talking, we've been selling, just like the grain reserves, yeah. We've been selling oil reserves, and it's to the point where it's like 27 days and we could be out.
I don't know what the total count is, but it's just ludicrous. You know, you just have to take a step back and look at the big picture. And that's one of the problems is we're not. I mean, literally, I have a whiteboard and I put up a lot of these events on the whiteboard so I can pay attention to them. But, you know, we're shutting down our production of fuel. We're selling our water to the Chinese. If you notice that there's they're taking a very large amount of water out of the Great Lakes. We're selling our food to the Chinese and our food production. So you look at the global picture and it looks like there's somebody trying to take down the United States.
Meanwhile, while all this is happening, I just read that China, Russia, Iran, and 10 other nations are going to Venezuela to have a war games scenario play out while our infrastructure is being weakened.
Yes, in our backyard. And let's just add that our Alzheimer patient in the White House is sending a lot of our military arms over to Ukraine, which, of course, has no significant advantage militarily for the U.S.
Doesn't this first segment just feel all warm and cozy, guys?
Roll route, Trent Luce, Troy Radke. We'll be back with more after this.
When I have, over the years, shared the information because people want to be critical of nitrates. People want to be critical of estrogen. I'll tell people that you're worried about your bacon or your ham because it's cured and it might have nitrates, but you flock to eating leafy greens because leafy greens are the highest level of nitrate possible. And you know what the first question that person always asks me? How do they get them in there? How do they get them in there, Nathan?
Well, they're cured, right? They're cured vegetables. And vegetables actually cure many diseases. So just like your bacon's cured, you know, I wrote a paper called Nitrite, the Cure for Chronic Disease. So just like nitrite, nitrate cure meat and prevent, you know, lipid oxidation and prevent, you know, food spoilage and bacterial infections and or bacterial overgrowth in the food, they do the same thing to us. They cure a lot of things because they improve nitric oxide, they improve oxygenation, they prevent oxidation, inflammation, and immune dysfunction.
You want to live a cured life? Take a nitric oxide supplementation every day like I do. NO2U.com. It's NO2U.com. Put Trend as your coupon code and you win big favors because you get free shipping and a 10% discount.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole, Amanda Radke, Croy Radke joining us. Not quite as vocal as the other three, but thanks for being here, Croy. I read that same report last night. Amanda, you were talking about the war games. There's three things that came to mind when I read about that. Did you know that in August, August 3rd to be exact, 2020, before the election, there was a Transition Integrity Project mock-up event that 67 people participated in to say what would theoretically happen if Trump got beat in the election by Biden? And they had three scenarios and people literally played it out. Now we see these war games literally going to be played out before what's going to happen. And then I also can show you a Harvard simulation of what would happen if a viral pandemic came to the world. That happened to take place in like November of 2019.
Is this similar to the Rockefeller Foundation that met to reset the table, which they met in 2020, just a few months into the start of the pandemic, to discuss how they would shift and reset our food system?
JC?
I think these are all pieces of the puzzle coming together. And in my opinion, there's a blitzkrieg happening and being applied to us in America. It's an attack across the board. Every single important item we can touch on is being attacked. You know, anywhere from, you know, water, food, and fuel to our financial structure to our children. You know, with the transvestites doing. Doing show and tell with them, to our health, to I almost can't find any area that isn't being attacked.
Mm-hmm. No, I know everybody wants a warm and fuzzy, Amanda, but the truth of the matter is that you and I witnessed in Keystone, I'm not talking about the people who attended our event, but the people that we interact with when they're in Keystone. They think, oh, my goodness, this economy, you know, it's really bad. I just can't wait for it to get back to normal. They're not seeking the information to figure out how to prepare, plan for their own families. That's what I think we have to do a better job of, is that we just got to give a stark reality wake-up call to people that, I mean, you said it yourself, and I think you're spot on. You know, Amanda, you said, I'm going to put priority first to what I need to do to protect my family. Mm-hmm. Which is why you have one of your youngins, like a little duckling, sitting on your lap as we go along today.
Yep. That's one of the things I said in my speech is every day you turn on the news and you say, oh, look what they are doing today. Oh, my gosh, what are they doing? And I've had to flip that in my mind. Otherwise, it'd drive you crazy because it's not what they are doing. It's what am I going to do? What are we going to do in response? Are we just going to shake our heads and say, look at these crazy people and what they're doing to destroy this country? Or are we going to say, I'm the gatekeeper. I get to decide if I participate in this system. I get to decide what my kids are exposed to. I get to decide how strong and sovereign and independent I can be based on the decisions I make. Where do I invest my time, resources, and energy? Is it to make my family stronger, or is it to entertain me and distract me from what's going on? And that's the question every American has to ask right now.
And what percentage are asking?
Not enough.
I think what has to happen is we have to trigger the American resolve. We have a deep resolve once it gets triggered, and that really nobody can defeat us when we work together. And that seems to be happening, but it's going to happen at a faster speed.
I love that. I'm writing that down because that's huge. Time to trigger the American resolve. That's where it's at.
But we're in trouble because I see that the military is at historic lows right now for recruitments. Patriotism is at historic lows. People are not proud to live in this country right now. They're not happy to see what's happening. They're not even the Top Gun movie that came out and celebrated those servicemen and women hasn't done enough to garner and drum up the interest or the resolve or the desire to serve the country, because right now the administration is messing with their very lives and making them take an experimental jab that could kill them, and not even looking at religious exemptions as an option in the military. So we have a weakened military on top of a weakened food, fuel, and water systems.
Yes. Yep.
Hey, JC, I want to back up here a minute because I read the same article, obviously, that Amanda did, but I don't know exactly what does that mean, and I don't think people do either listening. War games. All of these countries are going to do a war game. Is that like a mock-up game to see what's really happening or what could happen?
Well, it's a combination of a bunch of different things. One is it's actually the participation of different cultures in war. And practice it. And as you know, we do the same thing, especially with like NATO, because you have, you know, the Germans, the Norwegians, the Brits, and they all have to somehow work together if a war comes up. That's one. Two is it's definitely a form of propaganda where now the Russians are and the Chinese are showing, okay, you know, we're going to be in your backyard if you're going to be in our backyard down there in Venezuela. And so in some ways, it's a defense from them, of them showing it very clearly. And then the other thing is oftentimes what will pop up is how it doesn't work, you know, how their system isn't working together so that they can correct it.
And that's how I read, as I read through, I didn't read all 22 pages of the election transition to integrity project, but I read through that it was just a mock run to see how to deal with all of the challenges that are going to come from the people that feel like the election was stolen. That's what the whole plan was, just to make sure that we experience everything, single thought that people might have on how we combat this.
Yeah. And
the people that were stealing the election, by the way.
Yeah. And oftentimes we're getting applied psychological operations to us or psyops. It's happening a lot. And many of these false flags that you see pop up, like the one recently in Chicago, that's a psychological operation. You know, just think about the timing and everything. That happened.
It is. I don't dispute that happened, but what's becoming very clear to me is that we know that there's the ability to monitor everything that's taking place all of the time. And the people who are now responsible for these heinous crimes and evilness against people, it's documented that they have a history of publicly talking about doing something serious. And yeah. So it's pretty easy for me to figure out that the individuals who monitor this find these warped individuals and then completely get inside of their head and they cause these situations because they're manipulating their mind and set them up for whatever happens.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't I read that a family member even turned this guy in?
Yes.
And had like 8 guns confiscated?
No, 8 knives.
Oh, 8 knives. Okay.
because he had threatened to kill his own family.
Wow.
And the Uvalde, Texas situation, he had 2 years of history. They find these people, they get inside of the head, either physically, I think the guy in Texas, they actually had interaction with him because he went to some training thing. But they don't even have to get physical interaction. You just need to social media, because they're all present on social media. They're all talking about what they're going to do of a heinous nature on social media. They find them. It's not hard to get inside the head of somebody who's not rooted like that. And then you got a situation where families are in pain, and the nation's having press conferences trying to figure out how to solve this problem. Well, maybe look in the mirror. That's how you solve the problem. First half, roll route done. Croy still a little quiet. We'll be back with more Amanda Radke, J.C. Cole after this. All right, this is where I'm going to disconnect so that doesn't take as long. I'll send you both.
Might have to send that twice for some reason.
Well, I know what I did wrong, so I'll do it. Okay, I'll see you in a minute. I'll send you an email. Yeah, folks, if you go to Certified Piedmontese, you're going to find the Live Fire Republic is using Certified Piedmontese beef and a Dynasty Prime Rib steak over a smoldering inferno of hardwood embers, finished with a roasted bone marrow and a garlic, morel mushroom, herbed with compound butter. Oh, my goodness. What could get better than that? We need more producers, cattlemen of the Great Plains of America, to be a part of the supply chain to continue this type of an approach. Get details about putting your cows. You don't put your cows in. You use the Piedmontese sires on your cows and then sell the calves back to the system. It's that simple. Get paid properly at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Welcome back, Trent Luce, alongside Radke, with assistance from Croy Radke and J.C. Cole. Croy, did you have something you wanted to share?
What do you want to say, hey, buddy?
I'm back with Trent Luce.
I'm back with Trent Luce. That's awesome. Great job. Hey, I'm in the Beck News studio, and for the radio listeners, they can't see this, but I think this was put here for me today. It says, stay positive, work hard. Make it happen. There you go. So, JC, stay positive. I don't know how you stay positive and yet really get in people's face and say, hey, either wake up or you're going to die.
Well, yeah, you look for some of the specialties of humanity and being human. And I've got one for you. Okay. You know, a lot of things happened this week in history, of course, July 4th, but July 4th, 1883, what happened in North Platte, Nebraska?
That was probably the first Wild Bill Cody Buffalo show. Buffalo Bill Cody, the Wild West show, but Buffalo Bill Cody.
That was it. You win. Okay. I'm not sure what you win because you're in charge of the prizes. But yes, it was the first. Where Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West show brought Americana to the world, as we touched on a while back, you know, and it was quite interesting, you know. And he toured Europe, but when he was in Europe, when he was in England specifically, Chief Lone Wolf of the Lakota Sioux passed away, and was buried there. And so that was in 1892. And apparently his one request was that he gets buried on his home territory. Well, I think a Dutchman had written about it in a book back in 1892. And a woman a British woman in London found the book in 1992 and read about it and reached out to the Indian tribes in America advertising in like the Lakota Times, if there are any ancestors of Chief Lone Wolf. And I think his granddaughter responded, and they put together the finance. And in 1997, Chief Lone Wolf was exhumed and brought back to his home territory. And apparently, he was in the Battle of the Little Bighorn.
Speaking of battles, we on our way home, we drove through Mission and some farms that my husband manages out there. But we stopped and saw the massacre of Wounded Knee. And it was quite impactful to read about, you know, they were fighting back. They were trying to get organized against what they saw as a tyrannical government infringing on their God-given rights and liberties. Of course, we know how the story has gone. And I think that's what impressed upon me at the event was Bruce Whalen, a member of the Native American tribe here in South Dakota, talked about how that's where we are headed to make the United States one big Native American reservation through these socialist agendas.
And he did a great job reminding everyone how they truly put the tribes of the day in peril, and that was decimating the bison population, which was their primary source of food. Who would ever guess that a government would cripple a supply of food to make people weak?
Let's not forget they brought them a biological weapon.
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
In the form of smallpox.
Yeah. And so if we look at this, our conversation has started almost a year and a half ago, and it's always been on food security is national security. And that, you know, with food, we can solve almost any problem. Without it, we can solve none. And that's one of the things for the people who are listening is that you have to get food in your control, period, because it's going to get nasty. And by the way, you know, I'm not really happy about being the guy who brings the nastiness but it just happens that I experience more of it and I see it better because I was outside of the country. And Trent, if you remember what I said, one of my contacts said oil could go to $400 to $500 a barrel.
I remember.
And then this week, JP Morgan comes out and says, well, we can see oil going to $380 a barrel. And that will be devastating for the country, but also for agriculture. It will just crush agriculture. So we have to be aware. You've got your warnings.
So for the people paying attention, there is a great interest to be more independent and to grow their own food. But the learning curve is steep. I mean, even myself trying to just take those incremental steps, it's like the more I research and learn, the more I realize how much I don't know. And how much I take for granted in just everyday conveniences that you assume will always be there.
That's it. We've been seduced by convenience.
Yes.
Yeah, and
for a long time, not something new.
Yeah, and not that I like standing on my soapbox, but one of the things that I push hard is get the book When Technology Fails, because that is what we're seeing. And that's our vulnerability. And they're going after it. They're going after it in power. I mean, just look at the rolling blackouts that they're telling us are coming. Well, how do you get around that? Well, it's in a book, right? The other good one is Dare to Prepare by Holly Dale. Now, you know, that's a whopping $25, but it's a Bible of solutions sitting there for when it happens. Like, what happens? What are you going to do when the antibiotics dry up? It's in the book.
I was preoccupied with JC's story about Long Wolf. I thought he said Lone Wolf, the chief who passed with Buffalo Bill while he was in Europe. It's Long Wolf, and he is currently buried at Wounded Knee.
Mm-hmm.
So you were right there, Amanda. Did you stop and see Long Wolf's burial site, 1997? I still marvel. We think about today just... we argue about whether we fly or drive, And, you know, I just don't want to ever fly again, although I may have to. But Buffalo Bill Cody went around the world with an entire Wild West show in the late 1800s. That was not an easy feat. Here we are whining and complaining, thinking that it's tough to get around these days. We're so spoiled. I mean, you mentioned it with the cost of convenience, credit cards, and all the things that have spoiled us. The problem is we don't even know how spoiled we are.
Well, yeah. And so let's look at how we've been seduced. And one of the biggest ones that's going to affect us is our currency. And a war is going on right now in world currencies. And the euro, the other big currency, of course, the petrodollar is dominant. But the euro just dropped, I think, yesterday by 14%. Imagine that, you know, that's one of the second, maybe the second largest currency just dropped by 14%. And these are red flags or red lights flashing that the system, the fiat currency system, is in deep trouble.
Clarify something for us, because we were following the petrodollar. We made a big deal about it when Putin said he was no longer going to buy oil on the petrodollar. He was going to buy it with rubles. Where does that all stand today? Is the petrodollar still the main currency, or has that ship sailed?
No. The petrodollar is still the main currency, the world reserve currency, I think we should say, and that there are plans behind the scenes. They're fighting over what the new world reserve currency will be, or whether it be, you know, instead of one, a couple of different ones. But what that means for us specifically in America is our currency is used by the rest of the world to buy things. And when they no longer will use our currency, it comes flooding back to America. And that creates reportedly hyperinflation. We're in inflation. This is not hyperinflation. And that, you know, then that's, that'll be devastating. And so what will, I think the guys I follow, the financial guys I follow, will say that the euro will crash first. The last standing, fiat currency will be the US dollar. So if you were a billionaire in Europe and you just lost 14%, and if that continues, you have to shift, you know, let's say $1 billion out of Europe. Where are you going to put $1 billion in value? And there's only one place, and that's the U.S. stock market. As crazy as it is, literally, that's the only place to put it. You just can't go and buy $1 billion worth of stuff.
Or land.
Well, even land takes time. You just can't buy it, you know.
Tomorrow.
I've been through 5 banking crashes. And you know, when you have a significant amount of money in a banking crash, you know, we just got to the point where we reacted immediately. As soon as we heard even a hint of trouble in the bank, we moved it. And so I had to, you know, for the American Chamber of Commerce, we acquired we had saved up a very large amount of money, and then all of a sudden that bank was going to crash, and I had to move it in one day. And boom, the next, you know, by the end of the day, it was sitting in New York City.
Boom. We're out of here. We'll be back with the last segment. Roll Route, Amanda Radke, J.C. Cole, Trent Luce after this. Thinking back to the Bridging America event, it could not have happened without 3 entities that I want to continue to say thank you to. Wall of Honor. Every hero deserves to be honored. Help recognize those who have served today. Go to the website, wallofhonor.org. That's wallofhonor.org. Protect the Harvest continues to be there to live on the front lines, protecting just what it says, protecting our property rights so that we can harvest food to feed people. Protecttheharvest.com. And Zane Williams did make his way to Keystone, South Dakota this past weekend. Great to see Zane and Sandy. They're founding members of the Families Feeding Families. That's a community-wide effort to the farmers of Yankton County, South Dakota. They're every year saying, hey, let's recognize the families feeding families. That's what it's about. Go to familiesfeedingfamilies.org. Thanks to all who made it happen. Welcome back. Will Rout, Trent Luce. We lose Croy Radke. Croy Radke no longer with us.
Wait, yeah. He got bored of you, Trent. Although he whispered, I know Trent. So this like hero worship you have going on with him. I don't know what you did, but.
Oh, me too. Me too. I have hero worship for Trent.
For Croy, oh, you meant.
Don't let that go. That'll go to his head.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It was ridiculous. At the event in Keystone, he had like a whole groupies of kids just clamoring to I started calling him Cowboy Claws because I was like, they're going to sit on his lap and ask for ammo and guns and bacon. Yeah. Whatever.
Don't have any ammo or guns. We sent it all to the Ukraine.
Right, right. Now, wait. Now, let me get to in this one comment here.
Wait. Before we get to something serious again, you made a comment last night, JC, that's a little troubling. You said to me in a text, get your column written. Your 3 days of free beer is over. What makes you think I got any free beer involved?
Well, let me just ask, did you?
No, I want to know how you knew. That's what my question.
Well, I can't tell you my secrets. You know, it's like, I can't say that, Kevin Jenkins called me up and said he's drinking all the free beer again.
You're in cahoots with Kevin Jenkins. You New Jersey boys are working together. Is that the moral of the story?
Right. Now, New Jersey. It's a secret clandestine that take over.
The Jersey boys.
The Jersey boys, right.
Amanda, you were going to say what?
Well, I don't think J.C. Cole could have handled the hot seat I put Kevin Jenkins in that night where we were sitting around amongst the sponsored complimentary beer and whiskey provided by Beck News that evening. I had Kevin Jenkins worked up.
But she apologized the next morning, which means she thought she went too far, JC. So just so you know, that's how she is.
Well,
somehow I think Kevin could take
I told him he was going to drown and starve in Florida and he wasn't going to sleep that night. So I felt bad.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't feel bad because that's a true story, which will lead right into what JC wanted to get to before we run out of time.
I just want to touch on that. I saw that clip with the skunk, actually both those clips with the skunk. And that was one of the most hysterical things I've seen in a while.
Should have been there.
Would you believe he called me a skunk?
I did. I introduced her as a mama skunk on stage.
there we go.
Trent, that little bitty old 12-pound skunk come charging me. I weigh like 225 pounds.
Yes, I know. But Trent, I thought you were a man of the good book, right? The good book, right?
The good book says nothing about let the skunk spray you.
No. The good book does say, forgive me of my trespasses, and I shall forgive those that trespass against me. She was just feeding the kids, and she was going right by.
I did not eliminate her ability to go by. I just put it on public world view.
Yes. Well, I think you have to talk to some of the Jersey boys, because we handle skunks a little bit better. You know, we just let them walk by quietly.
Here's what you don't know that I didn't share. It's my second interaction with said skunk this week. First time she was by herself. I have a picture and a tail in the air. I was about 30 feet away. This time I was about 10 feet away. And I think that's the good circumference to stay out of. More than 10 feet looks like a problem.
I would say so. I would say.
Excuse me, less than 10 feet.
I just wish the camera had been pointed at you.
When she started charging me.
Yeah, it's there was an interesting thing that, different parts of the third world are starting to get ripped apart. And so the Nigerian governor has ordered the issuing of gun licenses to the citizens so they can carry guns, so concealed carry, to defend themselves against the armed groups that are popping up. I hate to say it, but, you know, this is going to come. You know, when our systems break down totally, they're going to be armed groups. It's going to get nasty. So on prepping, there are three things that are going to be extremely difficult to find when the supply chain collapses. That's going to be for protection. That's going to be night vision, thermal imaging, and body armor. Why? Because the guys that already have it don't have extra. They're not going to sell it. Right? It'll be in very short supply. And so people need to start to think, what are you going to do to defend yourself? Right? And how are you going to increase your security? Get those items now.
Are they still available now?
They are. Except in New York. They already changed the law in New York.
Does a beware of dog sign work? But that deter?
Yeah, be aware of skunk.
I'm going to domesticate that thing.
I think, JC, you speak words of wisdom, but I just think it goes so above and beyond what would be even on most people's radar. I mean, even just suggesting the idea of, hey, plant a garden and learn how to can so you have a little extra food around. For some people, even myself, I've been buying jars. My grandpa's been going to garage sales for me, picking up jars. And my husband's comment was, I bet you don't put up a single thing of food. You know, it's like so out of our normal routine. It's hard to picture an entire system collapsing.
That is correct. Even for me, you know, like I'll go and do the shopping. And you're going through and it's like, you just look at all the stuff that we just take for granted. It's like a jar of artichokes. Well, what happens when the system breaks? You're not going to see artichokes ever again, you know, unless you grow them. A sideline for those who can, the number, if you have a family of four, the number of mason jars you need is approximately 500, right? For 1 year. Okay. Now today, I actually priced them just 2 days ago. They were about $1.20 a jar. So you're looking at about $600 just in jars. That's not saying extra lids or canning materials, but you know, and so these things start to add up. But
and then you get hit by a crazy windstorm every other week and you get hailed on and you come home from a trip from Keystone and your whole garden is destroyed. So yeah. I got the jars. Now I don't got the food.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Let me also remind you another little tidbit. We've become very complacent in canning the people who do it because we just turn the stove on and the heat is there. If we're talking about this severe of a shortage, there may not be any electricity piped into the house.
That part's correct. Yeah,
so it gets a little complex.
It does. And that's why it gets into some of its engineering. You know, for instance, I particularly hate cold water for showers. And it comes from my survival days when I had to swim in a glacier fed river to clean. you can buy a hot water heater at the RV store or the camping store that doesn't need electricity and it runs just on a propane tank. They're about $120, right, for those that must have hot water.
I do like a hot shower.
It's a bit of luxury, but it makes you feel human.
Actually, it's not total luxury because when you're cleaning, even just doing dishes, hot water is very valuable for sterilization as well.
True. True. But there is a bunch of different ways to protect yourself. Nothing is perfect. Right? Now, you got to start to learn them.
Now, JC, how much time do we have, Trent?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Is it all just, it's already happening? Like, it's set in motion. There's nothing that could stop this. Or is this war games and we could have a positive outcome come out of all this in your mind?
Well, I look at it from the engineering side. The better question is, yes, of course it's positive. It could happen. All work out well. But what are the odds and what are the probabilities and that it would. And those are extremely small. You know, my view is we will go to World War III, and we will have a civil, we'll have massive civil unrest. We might go to a civil war. And those have very high probabilities.
Okay, here's the ultimate positive of the day, because I'm thinking about my sign that I had earlier. It said, stay positive, work hard, make it happen. If all of this is just hogwash and none of this happens at the extreme level we're talking about, and you go to the lengths to prepare, as we've been talking about anyway, who wins? You do.
Absolutely.
You're going to get back to the basics. You're going to learn basic things that you've been taking for granted, and it will benefit you and your family long term, period. End of story.
Correct.
It's a lifestyle shift that can be really fruitful for your family, too, in a lot of societal ways, in a lot of spiritual ways.
Is your garden really toast, or is it? Will it come back?
I mean, it probably wasn't very good to begin with, because I'm a beef girl, not a gardener. But yeah, it's not good.
Well, I shared this on stage Monday, and this is a thing that just hits me really kind of like the summation of where we're at. Teresa Thibodeau, who lives in Omaha, who ran for governor. I mean, we were traveling together during the planting season of gardenings. And so I, you know, obviously she's in tune with what's going on. She planted a garden for the first time in her life in her backyard. She planted a garden, and her friends in Omaha, who now she tells she's planted a garden in her backyard, their question to her was, are you turning liberal? since when is planting a garden in your backyard, providing food for your family, a liberal cause? I mean, it just like blows me away. Final thought of the day, Amanda Radke.
You know, don't panic. Prepare. Live a fruitful life by just planting the seeds today. Stay positive and find joy in the journey, because it is a journey. It's not something you can set yourself up for one day and check it off the list. It's a shift in your perspective. And we all need to think about ways we need to be more strong, independent, sovereign, and resolved to stand up against what's coming.
J.C. Cole.
Yeah, I agree totally. Get ready. Get prepared. You know, we're going into a competition. And we're going to walk out as the champions. That's it. You know, so you know, as we say, You have to strengthen and to do that.
We've successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban America so that we can all be champions. Maybe I'll add that on a daily basis. All three of us remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.